tonight we're going to be going over verses 19 through 21. And I'm going to kind of read the question first here, and then we'll read the scriptures. Get my Bibles pulled up. So again, we're in Acts, the third chapter. We're going to read verses 19 through 21. And the study question tonight was actually number 14. And it says, what is the difference between repent and being converted? So we'll read in Acts 3, starting in 19. Repent you, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. Just a couple of things here. This word blotted out actually means erased. And we know that after we repent and we take that step of baptism, our baptism washes away or erases those sins of which we have repented of. Last week we talked a lot about learning to walk in that perfect soundness and being a fully mature Christian that manifests the God's grace in our individual lives. And we know for ourselves that when we are that fully mature Christian, that's like a 180-degree change from the person that we were when we first came to God. And when we first came to God, one of the first steps that we took to God is repentance. And we talked a little bit about that last week. And so we're going to go over that repentance and being converted tonight. So I'm just going to read to you the definitions of both words, and then I'd like to ask kind of your thoughts on repentance and being converted. In the Strong's Concordance, the Greek word for repentance means to think differently or to reconsider. That Greek word means to think differently or reconsider. In our dictionary today, it means to feel sorry, to regret, and ask forgiveness. In our dictionary today, that word repentance means to feel sorry, to regret, and to ask forgiveness. So you can definitely see where those two work together. And part of that repentance is recognizing where we are wrong. And that really takes humility for each one of us to recognize the areas in our life that are not lining up to that word of God. And that's not a comfortable spot to be in, to see that wrong in our life where we're not lined up. But it takes us seeing that in order to kind of take these steps of repentance. And you can look here as I want to read the dictionary definitions of convert before I get too far. In the Strong's Concordance, the word convert, the Greek word means to turn about. So in that word convert in Greek means to turn about. In our dictionary today, it says to turn to another purpose, change in form, or character. In our dictionary today, it's to turn to another purpose, change in form, or character. So when we look at both of those definitions, you can see that both repentance and being converted are two separate steps, but they definitely work together. It takes us first recognizing where we are wrong. That's where our repentance will come in. And then it takes us making a conscious effort to change. And that's where conversion will come in. So before we go in and talk a little more about this, you have any thoughts on this tonight you want to share about repentance or being converted? Any thoughts, any things in the scripture that jump out to you, anything you remember? Marty? Is that on, Marty? I can't hear you at all.
Okay.
Oh, there you go. That's better. Much better.
Yeah, so we're born into sin. This is Satan's world. And, you know, you're either going to serve God or Satan and you repent. You know, that's something that you can do.
But, amen.
But that repentance has to continue, and conversion is only something God can do with His Spirit.
Amen.
But you have to repent and, you know, be trying to achieve that.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, repentance is something we do, and conversion is something that God does within us. Very much. Ron Larson back there in the back.
I know when I first came, Buck described it as being, if you used to do something or you come upon something that God doesn't want you to do, you turn and go the other way.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you need to do opposite of what you were doing if it was wrong in God's eyes. And it just made it easier to understand
mm-hmm.
Of what repentance was. And
mm-hmm.
that just stuck with me.
Amen. Amen. That turning and going another direction. Anyone else? Anybody else? So we begin first with repentance, and that definitely is our first step in coming to God. And we definitely recognize where we fall short when we come into that presence of God. And you think about Peter teaching to this crowd of people right now. He was teaching them who Jesus Christ was, that He was the Messiah, the Anointed One, whom they had been waiting for. But because of their ignorance or their lack of understanding, they didn't see where they were falling short. But just as Peter was talking to them and showing them and opening these scriptures to them, and they begin to realize that they missed a point here, that had to make so many of them begin to stop and really think about if they had missed something so obvious as the Savior that they had been waiting for, what other things were they not comprehending? And what other things were they going to have to reach and seek for? And what other changes were they going to have to make? That's a little bit of an uncomfortable position for anybody. And it certainly is for us as we make our steps to God and we begin to understand from the Word of God who God is and how holy He is. And definitely we begin to see the need in our life and that lack. And it is a little bit of an uncomfortable spot to be in. But repentance is definitely one of the first steps that you do, and it's a required step on this journey. And I just want to read Acts, the second chapter, verse 38, and this is one probably we don't even need to turn to. We learned this so early in our walk in God, and it's definitely that foundation. It lays down the doctrine of this church, what we stand for. But Peter says in Acts 2:38, "Then said Peter unto them, repent." First thing, recognizing where you fall short, repent. "And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." That baptism removes those sins. Repentance, when we repent, God forgives, but baptism removes those sins. "And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And we realize how important each one of those steps are. It's a holy God, and for the holy God to come into us, we have to be without sin. And to be without sin is to repent of those sins and then to be baptized in that name of Jesus, and those sins are removed. We're an open, clean vessel ready to receive that Holy Spirit. I want to read in Matthew, the 9th chapter. In Matthew 9, and I'm going to read verses 10 through 13. Matthew 9, 10 through, starting with verse 10. "And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with Him and His disciples." They wanted to know something. "And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto His disciples, Why eateth your Master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, He said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go you and learn what that meaneth." He's telling the Pharisees, go and learn what that means. "I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." You know, and that is such a Part of that first step of repentance is beginning to recognize who Jesus is, what he holds out, and what he offers to you. If you feel very self-righteous, like many of these Pharisees did, and they didn't feel that they had a need for the Savior, they were just happy with their own natures. They just thought they were fine in God's eyes. But the publicans and the sinners, that natural everyday man, we often recognize where we fall short. The Pharisees didn't see a need for that Savior. But those publicans, the sinners, the everyday people, they did. They knew that they were lacking. And they went and sat with Jesus and talked with him. But Jesus said, I came to bring people to repentance. He came to change people's lives. In Isaiah, I want to read this one in the Old Testament, starting in Isaiah 55. I'm going to read verse 3, Isaiah 55, verse 3, and then I'm going to jump down to verses 6 through 9. In Isaiah 55, verse 3, incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Drop down to verse 6. Seek you the Lord while he may be found. Call you upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. It's when we take the time to incline our ear and seek God because we know we lack. And as verse 7 teaches us, it is that repentance is that wanting to forsake those wicked ways. It's wanting to change our unrighteous thoughts. But it's also wanting to now learn to align our thoughts to those godly thoughts. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. But we can learn them. And that act of repentance is saying, I want to learn more about you. I want to go. And it's this type of repentance, that looking at yourself for who you really are, it's that type of repentance that begins this conversion process in our life that, like Marty said, that is God that begins, that conversion process. Repentance is, like I said, the first step in this walk with God. But repentance is necessary throughout our whole walk in God. Repentance is not a one-time thing in our walk in God. It's necessary as we grow in God and we make mistakes and we fall short and sometimes even fall into sin. Repentance is necessary to get back on the straight and narrow. We recognize and admit where we have failed, and then we ask God for forgiveness. And if necessary, we ask others for forgiveness. I want to read in 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter. And just verse 10. Second Corinthians 7:10. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. This godly sorrow that the scripture teaches is truly a sorrow. It's something that we never want to repeat again. When we make that act of repentance, when we first come to God, we don't want to go back to that old life again. We don't want to think the way we did back then. We desire to be a new person. We don't want to go backwards. We don't want to repent of what we have repented of at one time. And our repentance in God is not just words. Words are so easy to say, "I'm sorry," but not change. That's not a godly repentance. This godly repentance is more than words. It's changing those old ways and the unrighteous thoughts that we have. And it takes a step by step by step. Something else to keep in our minds, depending on the situation that may come into your life that requires our repentance, there are often consequences that have to be paid. And for those of you studying in the adult Sunday school class, we see in the life of King David at this time how things of which he did years prior, there's still consequences coming in his life from those actions. And that's something to always keep in our mind. When we repent, God forgives. And then he actually kind of removes those sins, or he forgets our sins. That baptism removes it. Then as we grow in God, communion removes those sins, just like we'll be ready to take on resurrection morning. But as we have that forgiveness because we repent, we get the sins cleansed through that communion, God doesn't remove the consequences of the behavior that you might have needed to repent of. Because those consequences often are just a natural course of events for a natural choice or a natural behavior that you did. So we see that even though we are forgiven in God and we are able to go forward, sometimes consequences are not removed because of choices that we have made. And if we're a parent or anyone that works with a small child, we really understand that. Not even a small child, any children. When a child makes a mistake, part of that teaching and training is that they learn their consequences to their actions and their choices. It isn't enough to just say you're sorry, but often consequences follow. But that's an important thing to keep in mind as we go through those steps of repentance, that there is often consequences or fallout from that behavior. But through the Holy Ghost, we can stand and go through those consequences, and they can be a time of great learning and definitely drawing us closer to God. Also, having to go through those consequences and those difficult times teaches us empathy for other people and teaches us compassion. So that repentance is such an important thing that we go through. It's that first step we make when we come into contact with the presence of God, and that holy God extends that hand out to us and we desire that life. We repent of that old life. And we don't want to ever pick that old life up again, or our thoughts or the way we were at all. We want that old life to die. And that repentance, though, is something that continues in our walk in God. We're always going to need to go to God for repentance as we fall short in anything that we fall short in. We're human. We're going to make mistakes. So that act of repentance is really being able to see yourself through God's eyes and compare it to that holy word. And then as you see that, it brings about that desire to change, and that what begins to motivate us to be converted. I have one more thought about repentance before we begin to talk about being converted. And if you think about it, repentance is such a, being allowed to repent is such an outward sign of God's grace to us. It's his love and his understanding for his people. And it's the one of the ways in which he shows that love for his people, for each one of us. Each one of us have been on that receiving end of his grace when we've had to repent of something. And he's so loving and so kind and so merciful and so willing to help us get back up and walk and get on that straight and narrow. It's an incredible outward sign of the grace that God has for his people. But that also makes us recognize that's the same love and grace we have to have for each other. It's the exact same love. What we love from God, His grace, His mercy, His compassion, that we need in our everyday life, He commands us to show that same love one to another. And I want to read in John the 13th chapter and verse 34. John 13 and verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And if you really stop and think about the way He has loved on each one of us, His mercy, His grace, His long-suffering, all the ways in which He has loved us, that's the same way we have to love one another. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Such an important thing, and you recognize when we function in this type of love, we walk in unity. When we function in this type of love, we walk in unity with God and we walk in unity with one another. So those are my thoughts on repentance. Before we go into conversion, anybody have any thoughts or things they want to comment on repentance before we go any further tonight? Any thoughts? So as I talk about being converted, I want to remind you of the definition I read at the beginning. In Strong's, that Greek word is to turn about. And in today's dictionary, it says it's to turn to another purpose, and it's to change in form or character, that conversion. The conversion after repentance is a complete conversion. It affects both our natural and our spiritual lives. Just as it was going to touch the lives of the people that Peter was speaking to. They were going to learn to turn from the Old Testament law, its requirements, its traditions, and that whole lifestyle that went with the law. They were going to learn to turn. They were going to convert. They were going to go another direction. And they were going to go to a much simpler way, just two laws. That loving God first and loving one another as God loves us. But that's going to be quite a step, and I think we'll see and learn a lot as we go through the book of Acts. But for them, these people that were so entrenched in these traditions that they had been taught for generations, they were changing. They were changing. Jesus Christ ushered in a brand new salvation. They were going to have to turn from those old ways, those traditions and everything, and go enter into a new salvation. Let's read in, we have to see, and again, as they go in this walk through the book of Acts, they're going to see the changes they have to make in order to please God. And that's so much what happens as you begin this walk in God. God shows you more of yourself, and you learn more of Him, and you figure out how you walk pleasing to God by living according to His Word. And the most important thing that happens during this conversion is the willingness to see what God wants us to do and then obey that. The willingness to see what God wants us to do and obey it. I want to read in Ezekiel, the 18th chapter. I want to start in verse 27. I'm going to read verses 27 through 32. In Ezekiel 18, verses 27 through 32, in the Hebrew, this is in Hebrew, this word turn is convert. In Ezekiel 18, starting in verse 27. Again, when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed, and does that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive. because he considered and turneth away from all his transgressions that he hath committed, he shall surely live. He shall not die. Yet saith the house of Israel, the way of the Lord is not equal or fair. O house of Israel, are not my ways fair? Are not your ways unfair? We work towards God's ways. Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, every one according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be in your ruin. Cast away from all your transgressions, whereby we have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live. So as you look at this, it's definitely telling us the need to turn and go in a different direction. And it's only after that repentance and that blotting out of our sins, that erasing of our sins, and that infilling of the Holy Ghost that we are truly converted. Then that conversion begins from the inside out. Just as this scripture says, make you a new heart and a new spirit. We truly do become a new creation in God from the inside out. It's not just an out front change, but it's deep. It's from inside out. And that only comes through that Spirit of God. David said the same thing. Go over to the 51st Psalm. And just verse 10. Psalms 51, verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. But we have to be willing to allow God to do that. And the only way he can do that is by us looking and considering and wanting to change. That's only God who can make those changes. And again, this conversion that takes place changes both our natural and definitely our spirit. And it does take that Holy Ghost inside of us to be completely converted. Completely converted. And I know for myself and many of us that have been raised in different religions, okay, and so for me, when I came, I had been taught something so different as a young woman going up through my elementary, junior high, high school years. And so then to come into this church and to be taught out of the scripture, so much of what I was taught out of the scripture didn't line up to what I was taught as that young woman. And so as I looked and I had to make those changes, it's a choice we make to turn from just my thoughts, my ideas, my traditions, and pick up God's thoughts and God's mind. And that sometimes that's difficult. So sometimes we have to turn away from old teachings that are kind of ingrained in us, but replace them with God's word. What does God's word say? And these people that Peter was talking to, they were going to go through all kinds of changes as we go further into this book of Acts. All kinds of things were changing. But the ability to kind of allow God to show you what he wants to show you, not getting stuck in our own thoughts and our own ideas, but allowing that conversion to take place, allowing him to create that new heart within us, that right spirit inside of us, not our thoughts, not our ideas, his thoughts, his ideas. So I also want to read into Matthew, the 13th chapter. In Matthew 13, let me see here. And this is one of the times when the disciples asked Jesus why he taught in parables. So in Matthew the 13th, I'm going to start down in just verse 11. And he answered and said unto them, I hear a lot of pages turning once you get there. Matthew 13, starting in verse 11. And he answered and he said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Why was it not given to them? Any thoughts? Paul?
At that time, they didn't have a love for the truth.
Amen.
That's what he was trying to. I mean, he wants to reach everybody, but if you don't try a little bit,
Mark and Kirsten?
Both raised their hand at the same time, I think. The others hadn't repented.
Right.
And the disciples had. Mm-hmm. And so for him to, if you haven't put down your own ways,
amen,
and known in yourself that you want something different, yep, then what's the point of hearing something
right
different?
Mm-hmm.
So it just wasn't, it mm-hmm wasn't for them yet. Mm-hmm. Not to say that it wouldn't be at some time for them, but mm-hmm right now it wasn't. They mm-hmm didn't have prepared hearts.
Mm-hmm. And it's not an unfair or unequal God. It's the condition of the human. Mark, did you have something too? Or she said it?
Mm-hmm.
So again, so verse 12, for whosoever hath, again, hath what? A desire to know and a willingness to look at oneself. So he says, for whosoever hath, and that is a desire to know and a willingness to look at oneself, to him shall be given. Given what? More understanding. And he shall have more abundance, that more life abundantly. I lose my place when I look up all the time. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Again, like Kirsten said, it's that desire to know, that desire to know. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand, and they don't have a willingness to seek further. Did you have something to say, Terry?
It was already said.
I'm sorry, sometimes I can't see. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear, and you shall not understand. And seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears. It's up to the individual to open, and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. I should heal them. That desire to look, to see more, to consider, but not just that desire, the willingness to change to what God says. The willingness to change. It has to come from that. This was truly a whole new salvation that Jesus was bringing to people. And it will take them letting go of their past ideas, their thoughts, and traditions, and picking up new and walking in a new salvation, a life-changing salvation. Mark? Keep your hand up tall because I do. I miss it when you can see.
I'm really impressed that in Isaiah, from verse 14 on, that the word humility doesn't enter into the discussion or his presentation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so intense that we human beings have a nature that we have to recognize and get away from.
Amen.
And if you're proud of that, mm-hmm. it's so difficult. If
Amen.
you're totally crushed and humbled before God,
mm-hmm.
if you recognize how marvelous, it says in Proverbs how the fear of the Lord,
mm-hmm.
and I haven't looked up the Hebrew to understand how that fear mm-hmm. interfaces with humble, interfaces with repentance, mm-hmm. but it would mm-hmm. be an interesting mm-hmm. tracking.
Amen, amen. And it takes definitely humility in all of this, because it is, I mean, just by our human nature, our natures are strong. Even if we feel we're this passive, nice, quiet person, our natures are strong. I mean, it's how we stay alive. It's part of our human nature. It's who we are. So it really takes that power of God to reach us. But it takes us being willing to pick up that word and to learn from that word. And it takes us being willing to look in our mirror every day and really look at ourselves the way God looks at ourselves. When you think of this old nature, there really isn't anything about this old nature that's really wonderful. The only thing wonderful in any of us is that Spirit of God. It's that Spirit of God. We really are vessels that have the privilege to hold that Spirit of God inside of us. And this definitely takes a humble and a contrite and a broken spirit to look at ourselves through God's eyes. And again, to desire to change, but have the willingness to put the effort into it. Because this takes work. This takes work. Walking in God and having that Holy Ghost in control instead of our own nature takes a conscious effort. We have to always be thinking about that. But when you think about that, as these people are going to have to be making these changes, changing their old ways, their old lives, and their old traditions, wasn't that the same thing we each one did as we came to God? And we repented and were filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name? We changed. We changed. We changed from that person we were. I am such a totally different person now than I was when I was in my 20s. And it's because of the Spirit of God. And all of us can see that. We can see. Sometimes I wish you could have, what's the name of that movie that comes out with Jimmy Stewart at Christmas? It's a Wonderful Life. Wouldn't you like to look back sometime and see if you didn't make this choice? To come and check out this word of God, if you didn't do those steps of repentance, if you didn't go through that baptism in Jesus' name, didn't get filled with the Holy Ghost, what would your life look like now? I could tell you what mine would look like, and it wouldn't be pretty. I would not have the peace. I would not be where I was in any way. You know, and it would be kind of a neat thing if we could turn that back and look. If you never made that choice of repentance, you never made those steps to be baptized in Jesus' name, you never allowed him to fill you with that Spirit, what would you be like right now today? What would you be like right now today? It is a life-changing salvation. That conversion or becoming a new creature doesn't happen without that first step of repentance, and it takes both the repentance and the conversion together to become that new creature. And it keeps repentance being a part of our daily life in God. Keeps that being a part of our daily life in God. I have one last scripture to read, and that's in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. And just verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What a great privilege we have. What a great privilege. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And praise God for that. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What a great privilege. We serve an incredibly gracious and merciful God that he allows us do-overs in our life at all time. An incredibly, incredibly merciful God. That's everything I have. Anybody else have any thoughts or comments? Back in the back for Ron. Stop at Mark on the way, please. Stop it, Mark. No, that's okay, hon. Go ahead. Go to Ron.
Just one last tie-in on that. This is when, at the Lord's Supper, when that was going on. And it's in Luke, the 22nd chapter, in verse 31. And it said, the Lord was talking to Peter here, and it said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." So here's a guy that's walked with him for 3.5 years, and Amen. To say these words to him,
Amen.
What more can I do here, Lord? So he didn't have the understanding of what was going to happen yet, but
Amen.
That was just quite an inspiration that for us that, man, God's with us and
Amen.
Wants to help us.
That's a great scripture. I want to read that again, Ron. That was Luke 22, verse 31 and 32. Thank you. Luke 22, verse 31 and 32. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Beautiful verses for us too. Mark?
This may in some way kind of tie in with that. But earlier in the verses right before the ones we studied tonight, the focus was on Peter telling them about their ignorance.
Amen.
And there just seems like something about that ignorance that can be so revolutionary.
Amen.
in the process of repenting
mm-hmm.
and being converted.
Mm-hmm.
And here, as Ron points out, Jesus is teaching Peter that he may have repented, but he sure hasn't been converted, and there's
mm-hmm.
a lot of ignorance that's
mm-hmm.
going to be swept away,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
it'll be wonderful,
Amen.
Even if it's bumpy.
Amen. And it's usually going to be bumpy. Sherry? What, Sherry Larson, way in the back, hon.
So I'm hoping that you'll read the scripture, but it's the one that says to know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
I think that's in John.
John 8:32. And my statement was going to be that, you know, no matter how long you're in God, you can think you're just fine. And I'm saying that for myself, but I think the longer that you're in God, the easier it would become to think that everything's fine with you. And that I always pray for God to let me see who I am and
Amen.
Let me see what I need to do to change.
Mm-hmm. It's the best thing we can all do, really, is keep eyes on in our own mirror at all times and looking at ourselves and really realizing where we come short. Is your hand up, Claudette? I'll read John 18:32 real quick, which Sherry was quoting here. "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." That was a scripture that really stood out to me as a young woman when I first came, because when I came to God, I was like 20 years old. I think I turned 21 up here. And, you know, you come with a whole bunch of baggage in your life as a young woman, and not nice baggage, ugly, ugly, ugly baggage. And when I read that, I thought, His truth makes me free from all of that. I did not have to carry that baggage. It did not have to affect my life. It took a long time and a process, and I still might have it down to a handbag. I haven't totally gotten rid of the whole suitcase. But that truth shall make you free. That spirit is a powerful thing. Claudette?
Well, just the scripture that Ron read, you know, I mean, there's no way that you can change without that spirit of God. And that is what Jesus is saying. And so, you know, and that is an ongoing process.
Amen.
I mean, I remember when I first got the Holy Ghost, I thought, okay, this is it. You know, this is a one-time deal here.
That's right.
you know, but it's a process.
It is very much a process, and that goes along too with what Mark was saying, how the importance of humility is. Because you can, even as Sherry touched on, as you grow in God and you have the Holy Ghost so long, you can kind of get to where you start coasting along and you're just going and you think you've got it made. We will always have to be growing and changing and working to please God. And that's a wonderful thing too. That's a wonderful thing, to always be growing and learning more and going to deeper depths with God and higher heights with God. It's to walk with God full of His Spirit is a beautiful walk. It is a beautiful, beautiful thing. Anyone else want to add anything before we close tonight? Anybody? Okay, thank you so much for your participation.